You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. So hospitals are under financial strain due to the pandemic. The Wisconsin Hospital Association estimates that hospitals across the state are collectively losing $150 million in revenue each week. Do you work in a health system? What is the financial impact of COVID-19 on your facility? We're at 800-642-1234 through the hour. We have three hospital CEOs for the hour. David Hartberg is here. He leads Vernon Memorial Healthcare in Viroqua, which includes a 25-bed hospital. David, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Jim Schultz is here as well, CEO of Edgerton Hospital. That's an 18-bed nonprofit facility. Jim, welcome to you.
Thank you. Welcome as well.
And Dr. Scott Rathgaber leads Gunderson Health System, which serves 21 counties in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Minnesota. Dr. Rathgaber, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate.
Well, we'll start with you. About how many cases of the coronavirus have you treated in the Gunderson Health System? What are you seeing?
So we're thankfully seeing a fairly low number of cases in our service area because people have been doing great social distancing. We want to really thank the community for their part. So we've had 26 hospitalized patients, which is not a huge load. We prepared for many, many more and are certainly prepared to care for whatever might come. But we've been very grateful that the curve has flattened because of what the community has done and it's given us a chance to prepare very well for caring for patients with this disease.
Do you find that it is more expensive to treat someone with the coronavirus as opposed to someone with the flu or a heart attack, cardiac situation?
Well, we realize that our care is expensive for lots of folks, and we really try to work on keeping our costs down for everyone. I think the COVID patients have probably a little bit higher expense because they do tend to be sicker by the time they get to the hospital, and they also require a lot of personal protective equipment to keep our staff safe as well as the rest of the patients in the hospital. So we've had to do some remodeling in order to make sure that we have our dedicated unit for those patients that separates them out and separates the airflow out from the rest of our population to keep the rest of the patients who need our care as well, like you said, with heart disease, to keep them safe as well. And so it has cost some increases there.
So, Jim, Edgerton, much smaller facility than Gunderson. What are you seeing in terms of the coronavirus where you are with your patients?
Sure. Well, we have seen a minimal number. We've tested about two dozen patients, only admitted one, which turned out negative, and two, we had to transfer that were tested positive. So we have not seen, and our county has been overall down in terms of number of patients with coronavirus. I think that the challenge for us has been the 50-60% loss in a revenue stream in terms of closing down outpatient services or reducing it dramatically. And yet, on the other hand, this loss of revenue was occurring while we were gearing up and increasing costs to gear up for the coronavirus. That's been the major challenge, the loss of the revenue stream while gearing up. But we have not seen many patients at all here at Edgerton.
David, what is the situation like at Vernon Memorial where you are?
So we have also not seen a very large number. It was only a couple of weeks ago that we were still one of few counties in the entire state that had zero positive cases. We had our first, as of today, we're up to only six cases that have been deemed positive. Only a handful of those have needed hospitalization. So most of the few number have been able to be cared for at home by our staff and by our county public health. And yet we've done testing in Vernon County pretty equitable to other counties throughout the state. So it's not the lack of testing. It's that, again, much like Dr. Rathgaber talked about, we appreciate what people are doing to remain masked, doing physical distancing, and helping us as healthcare be prepared for what might be future waves.
We're talking with three Wisconsin hospital CEOs all hour long about the economics of the pandemic. We have Jim Schultz from Edgerton Hospital, Dr. Scott Rathgaber from Gunderson Health System, and David Hartberg from Vernon Memorial in Viroqua. With your questions, do you work at a hospital? What has been the financial impact of the coronavirus pandemic on your facility? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Dr. Rathgaber, the reconfiguration to expand ICU or to coordinate off, to try to do this remodeling as you talk about, do you feel like you're going to need it for the long term? How are you looking at these reconfigurations and what you can incorporate in terms of care, you know, whether it's elective surgeries or other procedures being held off? When can you regain some of that normalcy?
Right. Well, that's a great question. And we, you know, thankfully, with the way our new hospital that was built in 2014, the way it was configured, it was easy to move things and isolate folks from an airflow standpoint. So it did take some construction, but we had it set up pretty nicely. And we had some older units that had been taken out of service because of the new hospital that we could bring back online for COVID patients. So we haven't really taken a lot of the capacity out of the hospital for the other patients, which of course are 99% of the folks that we need to continue to see. So as we have a very keen eye on needing to serve the rest of the community, and we have been resuming our services and expanding slowly and very deliberately in order to make sure that we remain safe for the patients and for our staff, but still take care of those other diseases that have not stopped. And so we feel that we're in a really good place. We are expanding those services and expect to be back to almost full capacity and ability to take care of folks by the end of this month.
Jim, what about for you? Are you expanding back services? I mean, if you're seeing a 50 to 60% revenue stream loss, when can you start building back?
Well, we started last week with our pediatric oral surgery, and those cases that we had postponed that were elective, some of those have become urgent or emergent cases, and we scheduled those as soon as possible. This week, we have started most of our outpatient services, and next week we'll be taking our clinical appointments. So by the end of next week, we will be pretty well ramped up. And as of right now, patients are in waiting. We have had pretty much a full schedule as soon as we had opened. And I think, you know, the thing that's happened is there's been this thought by a lot of people, kind of an image that hospitals are not a good place to come because we're full of coronavirus patients. And actually, we're safer than most all other places they'll go to. But a lot of patients have not been reporting the hospital for their health care when they've needed it because of this image that's been created. And there is a direct need for people to begin to realize that hospitals have done everything possible to be a safe place in terms of the coronavirus.
We have Wisconsin Hospital CEOs with us responding to the pandemic, how they're navigating financially. Jim Schultz there. We have Dr. Scott Rathgaber and David Hartberg with us. Do you work in a hospital division that has had its caseload dramatically reduced? Have you been temporarily reassigned to other duties? How has your job changed where you work in healthcare? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us here in the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the financial pressures of hospital systems in Wisconsin and nationwide. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The rapid growth in the number of patients with COVID-19 had threatened to overwhelm hospitals. According to a recent report in JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, The pandemic raises questions about the ability of hospitals to remain financially solvent. Are you concerned that the pandemic might force your local hospital to make cuts, perhaps consolidate? How far do you live from a hospital? What options do you have if it were to close? Be part of this. 800-642-1234. We have healthcare leaders Jim Schultz of Edgerton Hospital, Dr. Scott Rathgaber from Gunderson Health System, and David Hartberg from Vernon Memorial in Viroqua. So, David, at Vernon Memorial, do you find pent-up demand, so to speak, for care? Are there patients in waiting?
We have seen that. Certainly, we tried to communicate with our community during this time period on what we were doing in our organization. I've been a rural hospital CEO for 20 years, but just started here at Vernon Memorial in December. I would not advise a brand new job right before a pandemic begins, and that's been very challenging. But I've been unbelievably impressed by everyone in this organization. Our clinicians have taken a leadership position in helping advise. Our facilities crew has retooled our organization, and we've got, you know, parts of our hospital that are from the 1950s up through 2000. Our environmental services crew. And then as we've moved employees around out of departments where departments either slowed down or been closed, we've seen people pick up and help do environmental services or do other things to help this organization be moving through things. And so the pent-up demand was something that was there. We saw some volumes coming through, but much like my colleagues talked about here in the last 2 weeks, we've communicated out to our public how, you know, what we've done, why we're prepared for to take care of their needs. We started up elective cases and moving towards inpatient cases next week and surgeries, and continue to provide emergency care and clinical care, and then even ventured into more virtual care during this time period. So we're wanting to meet the needs of our community during these times.
And telehealth now has more billable options for services. Do you see openings there?
There are openings there, and that's a key point that I wanted to make sure that we talked about a little bit. So as rural health care providers, we have designations called rural health clinics. They allow us to be able to provide services and receive a little bit better reimbursement, which allows us to have those services be more viable. And rules and regulations have changed in the last 6 weeks to where those rural health clinics can be providing telemedicine. Prior to that, there were huge limitations on that, and we appreciate that those restrictions have been lifted. It has allowed us to get into that space and certainly provide good care. Our concerns are long-term. If those regulations are not removed, it'll be very stifling for us to remain into that space, both, again, regulations and reimbursements from that. So we hope that's something that will continue to be understood and remain in place, because it's good for us and it's really good for our patients as well.
Jim, what are you watching out of telehealth in the emergence of how we care for people remotely via video conferencing?
Well, we have utilized that to some extent in our clinic, and also our behavioral health that we offered limited offerings to our employees during this kind of stressful time. An interesting, I think, contradiction, however, is we're hearing patients who we have done telehealth through our clinics say, you know, we want to see the doctor. We want to get in and have an interaction and have eye contact. And I think people being penned up as long as they have and have had limited social contact in general, all of a sudden seeing a doctor, sitting in their office and having an interaction becomes more important than it used to be. So we're seeing patients say, hey, we're glad to be back to the hospital, go to a clinic, see a doctor instead of talk to them on the phone or use a telehealth at home to interact with them. So, and it's somewhat dependent, of course, upon the generation, but we are seeing some interesting feedback about, boy, it's great to be back to the hospital, go to the clinic, see people, interact with the doctor, et cetera.
We're talking with three Wisconsin hospital CEOs this hour about the economics of the pandemic. We have Jim Schultz, the CEO of Edgerton Hospital, Dr. Scott Rathgaber from Gunderson, and David Hartberg from Vernon Memorial in Viroqua. With your questions as well, are you concerned the pandemic might force changes at your local hospital, your local clinic? Have you delayed elective care because of the global health crisis? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Dr. Rathgaber, you know, babies still come. Maternity, labor and delivery all needs to function. People still need dialysis. They still need transplants. Are there particular budget lines, very reliable revenue sources that are functioning just like normal?
Well, yes. As we've gone through this, we've seen that our obstetrics department has remained very busy because babies don't know that there's a pandemic. We've seen cancer services, you know, radiation therapy, things like that. We've continued those that have been pretty strong because, again, cancer knows no boundaries. We've seen drop-offs, though, in some like strokes and cardiovascular disease visits, at least. And we're very concerned that folks are delaying their care because of out of fear of coming to the hospital. And I would echo what Jim said, is that we've actually made it very safe to come here. We are pretty much open almost all of our services at this point. So people should not be delaying their non-virus care out of fear of coming to the healthcare system. We have made it very safe and we can take care of those. And so we don't want there to be downstream consequences from the folks who do know there's a pandemic and they're making choices about their own health out of concern for safety. And believe me, safety of our staff and our patients is number one, has always been, and we have gotten together processes. We believe we're probably one of the safest places you can come.
How much are you relying on those parts of care that are still like operating normally? Are you relying on those as to keep other parts of your budget, other financial lines up and running?
Well, we've definitely had a significant financial impact, like everyone, from the choice of stopping our elective procedures so that we could prepare for whatever the virus would bring us. We feel we have prepared. We're in a good place there. We moved to the phase two to make sure that we're safe for our staff and our patients. And now that we are sure of that, we are resuming elective and all of our services. And so that's coming back. But, of course, we've had a big financial impact. And those places that continue to move despite were pretty small areas and, you know, certainly did not make up the difference. And we understand, though, that there are many, many businesses out there that are impacted financially. It's not just the healthcare system. And we acknowledge that reality for other folks who are suffering as well, and we want to be stable and present for our communities to care for their health, which is our mission, but we also understand that other folks are suffering, and we want to work together as a community in partnership. We continue to try to bring back services to serve that will help us financially, and it will also support the rest of our businesses as we can all revamp and come back and support, because we've had to make decisions regarding furloughing staff and decreasing hours for financial reasons. We've had decreases in pay for those who aren't reduced, and so those have been hardships that we have had to endure, but we understand many, many businesses are enduring those as well, and we stand in solidarity with all of our economy and those business owners and their employees who are suffering along with us.
David, how about Vernon Memorial? Have you had to institute furloughs?
We have had to make some pretty difficult decisions. Most of our work right now has been about low census. Either some percentage or a couple individuals in our organization are currently without work. Departments are closed. We, you know, are trying to plan how we might be able to bring some of those services back. As Dr. Rathgaber talked about, certainly many of our services are opening up 50 to 75% over here these last 2 weeks. But we've likewise asked our senior leaders, myself, and our clinicians to take some voluntary pay cuts for a time period to certainly protect the most vulnerable of our staff. One thing I'm very proud of here is that early on we had a couple of leaders step forward and ask about the setting up of a fund for our workers that were displaced that have had their hours cut. And so we've worked with Cooley Cap, a not-for-profit in our area, to set up a specific VMH fund that can help to support those individuals that are looking for funds right now. But we've had to make those painful decisions. We're hoping that they're temporary, but we also want to be very, very careful about how we go back into what business we want to look like after this so that we can be sustainable for the long term.
We're talking with three Wisconsin hospital CEOs about how health systems have suspended elective procedures, rebalanced budgets, try to save capacity, supplies. What happens when hospital specialties are drying up during the Safer at Home order? Are you a hospital worker who has been forced to take furlough days? How are you coping with this? And have you noticed a change in care? Join in, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in a minute with Jim Schultz, David Hartberg, and Dr. Scott Rathgeber right after this news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're looking at the financial strain of hospitals amid the global health crisis. There's a report in JAMA last week. The Journal of the American Medical Association said many hospitals are closing outpatient departments, postponing or canceling elective visits and procedures. And we're hearing here in Wisconsin that those procedures are starting to get back to normal in the near future. Have you delayed elective care because of the pandemic? Have you had discussions with your provider about rescheduling? Where are you at with that? We're at 800-642-1234. We're talking about the situation with CEOs David Hartberg, who leads Vernon Memorial, Dr. Scott Rathgeber is the head of the Gunderson Health System, and Jim Schultz, who leads Edgerton Hospital. So, Jim, getting back to furloughs, what is the furlough situation or pay cuts like at Edgerton Hospital?
Well, we took a little different approach. We decided early on, as we looked at the federal direction and financial support, that our employees are our most valuable resource. We've spent a lot of time training them, and if at all possible, we wanted to keep them employed. So we have had a labor pool, and as some of the other panel members indicated, employees had the option of participating in working at other tasks. They could take at home without pay or PTO, but we were hoping and applied early for the payroll protection plan, of which we received. And that will cover at least 8 weeks of our payroll, which meant that our employees, for the most part, were all fully employed, and we didn't create more stress in their life, and we didn't lose good quality employees who, if they were laid off, might seek a job somewhere else. So we took a little different approach. Our major goal was to keep all of our staff employed as much as possible, so we didn't have any furloughs or laid-offs.
Dr. Rathgeber, you know, hospitals are these places that provide the emergency care, and you need the staffing there. How do you manage that workflow if you're trying to run furloughs at the same time, trying to reduce hours?
Right. Well, those essential services like ER and the hospital departments, they were not included in our plans. They need to continue to be open, as you said. And so we continued to staff those fully and make sure that they were protected from infection as well as able to do their jobs. It was more in our outpatient and procedural areas where they decreased. And then, of course, our supportive areas, that's where the decreases were. So we did not do a broad, you know, stroke. We wanted to make sure that we continued to maintain our ability to care for folks. And then we have a rotating pool for folks who might not have as much work, and they would transfer to other places to support the places we needed. So I think we had a very thoughtful response from our human resources folks who were really experts at getting the right people at the right place and caring for the volume that we were seeing. And now we can we have good plans for bringing those folks back as our patients return. We did continue to pay folks for a month. We could not continue to sustain that after a month and had to make what David said was those difficult, very painful decisions. But now we're focused on bringing the workforce back as we bring our services back. We were not eligible for the payment protection plans because of our size. So we have made other arrangements, but we're actually pretty excited about being able to bring back our care, which means bringing back our staff to care for the community as well.
You must also be wondering what happens if there is a second wave. What happens if you need to retreat again and to scale back down? Then what might finances look like and what might those decisions be? What are your thoughts there?
That's a great question, and we certainly have kept that in mind. We believe there will be sort of small waves that continue to approach us throughout the next many months until we can really get adequate treatment or a vaccine. So we are prepared for that, and we believe we have the capacity to take care of small waves, and it would be difficult to scale back again from a morale standpoint. So we're trying to live with the virus now, understanding that it will be in our community and that we will we need to be able to take care of those folks as well as continue our services to the, for the rest of the community as well. So we're really we think we will be able to handle the smaller waves that come through with our processes and the way we're set up, which is great. We are relying on the community though to continue to wear masks and social distance, wash hands, and do all the things they have done to keep the curve flat. The curve's not zero, but it's flat, and that will give us the ability to care for everyone who needs medical care in all their varied diseases. And when we have these inevitable small waves, which you accurately point out, we do believe we'll have.
David, are you there at Vernon Memorial thinking about next waves and what that will mean to your budget?
I think we're thinking about it first and foremost, how do we keep our staff safe and how do we keep our patients taken care of, but we're a business like any other location, and we've got to understand how we remain viable to serve our community, to be the second largest employer in this area, and all the responsibility that goes with that to our community, to our employees. And never more so has the health and well-being of your neighbor been more important to us and to everybody, and understanding that. So we've done things relative to, again, learning to live with this, how we've sectioned out our organization, how we've redefined paths in our organization to manage this. We think we're going to have to live like this. We want to continue to be providing the care, and we've spent a lot of time. We've even trialed surges in our inpatient area, in our ER, in our respiratory clinic that we've set up specially to manage the triaged patients that call in with symptoms. And so we've tried to model what this looks like before a surge was here. And given the fact that, again, we had zero cases in Vernon County up until just a couple weeks ago, it allowed us extra time to be able to plan for the what ifs. Now we're going to have to see, at some point what this looks like if we get in the middle of those things. But I think we've got staff thinking about those things without having to be in the midst of that deep water and trying to manage through it.
How did those trials go? How did those test runs go? How did your hospital perform under extreme pressure?
I think for the most part, well. This is, we're all experiencing first times of things. First times do not always go perfect. But I think, again, as we've worked through that, we've said, oh, okay, if that structure was a little bit more like this, it allows us to do better. PPE, protective personal equipment, is paramount to our ongoing safety of our staff and of our patients. And so we've got some really, really smart people that are doing modeling of what are our burn rates, how fast we're going through things if we open up areas and getting regular checkups on where we're at with those things. And so we've been able to, again, retool and say, well, this process might be completely efficient in some ways. It might mean we're using more equipment or more PPE than we'd like to if we modeled it over this way. Oh, okay, that'd have probably 25% less usage and yet still keep everybody safe. And so, again, through doing it before getting into the depths of it, it's allowed us to work out the kinks, and we feel ready should we have to have that. But, again, we're still asking the public to do smart things to help us, like Dr. Rathgeber and Jim mentioned. This is the neighbor taking care of the neighbor, neighbors that we maybe know really well and maybe we've never even met before, but we've got to be able to be together in this to try to find the right paths.
That is David Hartberg from Vernon Memorial in Viroqua. We have Jim Schultz here, CEO of Edgerton Hospital, Dr. Scott Rathgeber from Gunderson Health System, talking with three hospital CEOs this hour and your concerns about healthcare amid the pandemic at your local health system. What have you thought about in terms of elective procedures or wellness visits? How are you talking with your primary care physician about how you manage your disease? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So I want to talk about the CARES Act, the federal government's distribution of aid, setting aside $100 billion for hospitals across the country. Here in Wisconsin, that filters down to about $400 million in aid. Looking at this aid and where it's going to, I want to start with you, Scott. What does this mean for your hospital, and where have you been putting this aid?
Right. So it's been very helpful, and we're very appreciative of the government understanding that we need to remain financially viable for our communities. And we've been thinking all of our decisions around finances are around we need to be here for our community. We've been here over a century, and we want to continue to be here for another century. So we have to remain viable to be able to continue to deliver care to the 21 counties that we serve. And so we made our difficult decisions based on the fact that we need to be here now and we have to be here in the future for our communities. And the CARES Act has helped us. We have received some funding, and we are using that to cover these significant, $1 million per day gaps that we have between our revenues and our expenses. It does not cover it all. It does help us remain viable. We continue. Thankfully, we came in as a healthy financial organization. We do have reserves, and we have been using those reserves in order to remain stable. But the help that we've had from the CARES Act does help us decrease the amount, the rate at which we're using the reserves to allow us to recover. So we don't expect to be completely supported, but it is helpful for us to be able to stay viable while we return our services and return all of our care. So I think it's been a nice stopgap for us, and we do appreciate it. We've been using it to cover the expense gap that we've.
Dr. Scott Rathgeber there. We're talking with Wisconsin Hospitals CEOs and you about what you're seeing in your community for care. 800-642-1234. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The healthcare industry is experiencing a major change in business emerging from COVID-19. More than 250 hospitals have furloughed workers in response to the pandemic. That's according to the latest figures from Becker's Hospital Review. We're asking questions about the financial viability of our hospitals here in Wisconsin, what the future might look like. How do you think healthcare systems should respond to the financial effects of COVID-19? Still time for your thoughts on this, 800-642-1234. We have David Hartberg, CEO of Vernon Memorial, Dr. Scott Rathgaber, CEO of Gunderson Health System, and Jim Schultz here, CEO of Edgerton Hospital. So, Jim, the federal government's distribution of the millions of dollars in aid, much of that going to rural hospitals. How much of that did that reach Edgerton Hospital, and how have you used it?
Well, we primarily used the first round for the payroll protection plan, which is was a huge boost for us. Otherwise, we would have been furloughing and laying people off. And then there was some stimulus money granted and some other funds, which, as some of the other CEOs pointed out, we're using to help defray the costs of preparing for COVID. So overall, there's still guidelines coming out daily for how to keep track and utilize this money, but it has been a huge boost for us in terms of keeping people employed, keeping our operations going. We have a new hospital and have a mortgage, so this is a big thing for us to remain financially stable. You know, I wanted to point out one other thing. It's kind of interesting, this whole worldwide pandemic, as terrible as it's been, has brought people together from being apart, because they are all affected in the same way and have had a lot of stress. And so I think we've seen a lot of positive things as a result of all of this. We talked about community support, and we've had a COVID campaign, and the community has been donated to help support the hospital. So it's kind of interesting the impact this has had. But as far as the federal funds, they've been lifesavers for the small hospitals.
Yeah, and I want to pick your brain on this, David. You know, even before the pandemic, rural hospitals were facing extreme financial pressures. As Jim points out, hospitals have mortgages too. How likely are we to see more rural hospitals consolidate, close down?
I think that that's a real risk. I know that my colleagues here in the state of Wisconsin are great leaders, and that Wisconsin is, despite the lower rates of reimbursement for Wisconsin hospitals, whether it's urban or rural, we were already working at the state level and the federal level to lobby and advocate for getting rid of the inequities of how Wisconsin hospitals are reimbursed as related to our peers throughout the country. This just puts even more of a magnifying glass on some of those inequities. And in the rural areas, you know, we take care of proven older, sicker people even before this pandemic, which puts more of a financial strain on it. So I think the Wisconsin hospitals are better positioned, but that is a risk. And back to the point that Jim and Dr. Rathgaber talked about, you know, it's difficult to navigate through all of these federal monies that are coming out. Hospitals the size of Jim's hospital, given lower than 500 employees, are eligible for the PPP program. That's not something Dr. Rathgaber and our hospital, given that we are larger, that we were eligible for. And even the federal monies that are coming out, there's some conflicting information about, are these loans, are these grants, are these advances, and so we're trying to be wise and prudent with that. Certainly, again, support our organization, take care of the expenses that are here, whether we have one patient or 100 patients in the organization, and be both thinking short-term and long-term. Like Dr. Rathgaber said, Vernon Memorial is a proud independent hospital. We will be here another 100 years, and we want to be able to be able to chart a course for that, given these uncertain times.
I'm sure it's also difficult to keep the financial streams separated when you have these federal government aids coming in and you're trying to also run, you know, reimbursement of services. That I would imagine the accounting is tricky if the information you're receiving is a bit murky.
Yeah, almost every thing that comes out is, you know, with 10 pages of fine print information, working certainly with our talented internal staff, with the external accountants and auditing firms that we work with on interpreting this. And certainly, again, none of the monies that are coming are going to make us whole. It allows for some sustaining ability during this time period for us to get services back up. We did incur, as everybody did, increased costs in maintaining and acquiring the PPE equipment, getting the additional pharmaceuticals that we did, the additional equipment that we needed to be able to retool these organizations. That stuff was non-negotiable for us and for these other organizations. We were going to do this to be right for our community and for our patients, that quite honestly, in those first couple of weeks, we didn't think about the money part of it, and I would argue nor should we have. It was time to take care of those people who are our organization, and we did that wisely and smartly. And now it's become more of the, okay, have we stabilized this? What else can we then be doing to be a good business and to do the things that we're called to do for our community?
Dr. Rathgeber, are there conversations about consolidations on the table now, or do you set those aside as you figure out next steps? What does that look like?
Well, I think we're always looking at how can we lower our costs and provide better service for really a pretty broad rural community. And we have five critical access hospitals as part of our system, and we've been in conversation and are adding a sixth one in the midst of all of this. Those are discussions that had been ongoing, so we're always looking for ways to provide better service, and I think there are opportunities from this to have those conversations, and we had conversations with one of our other Wisconsin systems, Marshfield Clinic, last year. It didn't come to fruition, but we continue to explore ways to consolidate our services for the betterment of our patients and the communities we serve. And if we can improve our mission by doing that, then we are obligated to continue to look at those opportunities. Whether or not they will come through or not, I don't know. But I think this is, you're right, there is an opportunity for us to look. Are there places that we can work better together? And I believe consolidation will happen. And if we do it thoughtfully, we can actually deliver better care at a lower price and increase the health of our communities all at the same time.
Jim Schultz at Edgerton Hospital, what keeps you up at night?
The survival of healthcare in our community. We're still a small community-owned hospital with an affiliate partner. And our community wants to maintain that, and it is tough with the consolidation all around you. And we're in the midst of about 15 minutes away either direction of major health providers. So what keeps me awake is keeping us financially viable and the doors open. We've made a lot of positive steps, and our new facility is really a standout facility, but it's a struggle in healthcare, and a lot of small rural hospitals have had to close their doors.
David Hartberg, last words here at Vernon Memorial. It sounds like when you have your community backing you, that you can go to them and say, you know what, times are tough. Here's what I need.
Our community's been awesome. I mean, think about what these healthcare workers are doing right now. They're still parents of kids that are getting used to homeschooling. They're parents who have spouses who have had their work interrupted. I'm a brand new grandparent, and my Zachary is sitting down in Des Moines. I can't see him often enough. We've got staff that likewise wants to see their grandkids. So not only are they putting themselves in harm's way every single day and providing outstanding care, they're going through these other things as human beings that are tough alone. And so what keeps me awake at night is how can we as VMH support these individuals during these difficult times and have them. And it's National Healthcare Week. I would be remiss if I didn't wish my colleagues and their organizations and everybody in healthcare happy Healthcare Week for all that they're doing during these pandemic times. They're heroes, and we salute everything that they're doing.
Thank you all for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
David Hartberg, CEO of Vernon Memorial in Viroqua. Jim Schultz, CEO of Edgerton Hospital. Dr. Scott Rathgeber, CEO of Gunderson Health System. Coming up, it's On Point. This is The Morning Show I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.